Good morning, and welcome to you as we begin our time of worship here in the Lord's house. Please, as always, take a few moments to sign the friendship register at the end of each row and close it to the center aisle and pass it to the neighbor seated next to you. And please read inside your bulletins for upcoming events, including Bible studies, which are held every Wednesday, and the Men of Faith monthly meeting will be coming up in a few weeks, where we'll be discussing the trauma of the pandemic on our children and families and how we might become a more trauma-informed church. There's also a CWF meeting this week, and our monthly board meeting will be next Sunday, immediately after the second service. Since we still live under a citywide face mask ordinance, we won't be passing the communion trays or offering plates again this morning, but there is an offering plate back on the table back in the foyer, so that we can all remain faithful in the stewardship of our church. We are excited by some upcoming expansions of our youth and children's and youth ministries, and Kathy Connell will be sharing more about this in upcoming weeks. Well, folks, may we begin our worship this morning with our call to worship. Please welcome back Ryan as he leads us this morning.
Good morning, everyone. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. We will always thank the Lord.
We will never stop praising Him.
We will praise Him for what He has done. May all who are oppressed listen and be glad.
May we proclaim the Lord's praise.
Let us praise His name forever. I invite you to join in the singing of number 72, To God Be the Glory, all stanzas.
The people rejoice. Oh, come. the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
May we bow for a word of prayer. Lord God, we are indeed privileged and grateful to gather here in your house this morning. We see all around us the signs of fall, the colors of the leaves, and the coolness in the air. We give thanks for all the seasons we enjoy here in the Midwest, and especially for the much-needed rain this past week. We thank you for the creation of nature and the wonders we experience as we live on this beautiful planet. Loving God, we welcome now the Holy Spirit, who brings us the living presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Take a few moments to greet and welcome each other this morning. Please be seated. I'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first verse of page 190.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
That's right. Good morning. Hey, and second kiddo, awesome. Good to see you guys this morning. You notice I'm not Kathy Connell, right? I don't look like Kathy. Just got word yesterday she's not feeling well. She's actually in the hospital this morning. And so we don't know much about her condition yet, but that's where she's at. And so I kind of learned this information late yesterday. But good to see you guys here this morning. Today's lesson is about the last line in the Lord's Prayer. Now, we do the Lord's Prayer in Children's Church every week, right? Yeah. And so do you remember what that last line says? Right after, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I know that you guys knew it. You're just being bashful about it. Because we say it every week, don't we? Yeah. Well, did you know that line wasn't always used? In fact, it's not in every version of the Bible. So I got these two Bibles with me here this morning. This one is an old King James Version. I got this back in 1972 for Christmas. Were either of your parents born in 1972? Maybe not. I was your age. And so the next year, I got this one from my parents, 1973. And so this is the Children's Living Bible. This is the King James. This one's Children's Living Bible. The King James Version actually includes that line. It includes the line, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." This one does not. Well, we still use it here. Did you know that some churches don't include that line when they say the Lord's Prayer? They stop at that line that says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Catholic churches don't use that line. They don't use that last line. I was at a wedding yesterday. Funny story. I was at a wedding yesterday. My nephew got married in a Catholic church. And as they were saying the Lord's Prayer, we said the line, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And about half of us went on and said, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and..." Whoops. And the priestess kind of looked out and grinned. It was really easy to spot the Protestants in the crowd during a Catholic. Those of you who kind of chuckled, you've been to a Catholic wedding before, haven't you? Yeah. So we use it here. Anyway, that line is called a doxology. And a doxology, just a fancy word. I had to look it up in Google. Doxology is just a fancy word that means praise to God. So we use verses in the Bible. And so when we say, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever," we're giving praise to God, aren't we? Yeah. And when we do communion, and I know we don't do communion these days for the face masks, but we will again eventually, we sing a song right after communion, don't we? "Praise God, from whom all blessings flow." Remember that song? I'm not going to sing it, because if I do, they'll think I'm auditioning for the choir or something. Don't need to do that. Anyway, a doxology is just a praise to God. And so that's why it's in some versions of the Bible. Others didn't get it. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that in Children's Church this morning. You want to come to Children's Church now? There's more than just one of you? Cool. All right. Sounds good. May we bow in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with Kathy this morning, and that she's in good hands at North Kansas City Hospital. Lord, we ask that you be with these kids and be with us this morning as we offer our praise and worship and hear your message for us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you. Pleasure to see you all here in the Lord's house this morning on this lovely Sunday morning. A number of people for us to lift up as we journey through the new week. Our sympathies extended to Val Stringer with the loss of her daughter-in-law, Sue, and her son is named George, and George lives in Cincinnati, Ohio. Please remember them in prayer. Again, as Jim mentioned, Kathy Connell is at North Kansas City Hospital. We are not sure what's happening, as that news is quite new to us, so we'll certainly follow up with Kathy as the day progresses and share with you on the prayer chain what we find out about what's happening for Kathy. But also at North Kansas City, Jerry Donahue is there, was undergoing dialysis now for the first time, and he has now been put on the list for a kidney transplant. Debbie Buzinski is also on that same floor, as she continues to have diabetic complications that have resulted in the loss of her lower left leg and foot. So please keep Debbie in your prayers and all that's going on. Lauren and Helen Kirby were both at the hospital first part of this last week. Lauren is still there. We all know him by Kirby. He normally comes to the second service. And Kirby has had some internal bleeding issues. They've been trying to ascertain what was going on, but it looks like it may just heal itself. So hoping that that's going to work out okay and he should be in rehabilitation soon. Ruth Ann, it's a joy to see you here this morning after your surgery last week, and glad you're up and about, and blessings to you, as we also keep Rihanna in prayer every day. We also are celebrating that Ruby Wolf is now home. Mary Otto is planning to go home later in this week from Ignite Rehabilitation, and Betty Gilstrap is scheduled to actually leave Ignite this afternoon. So all that's good news. We also keep John Adams and Larry Pettis in prayer as they're looking at continued treatments for lung cancer. Also, we keep John and Jean Cantola in our prayers, and Jake Otto as he's making his recovery. And Grace and Jean Kimmerling are at McWright, and Jill Gregory is at Newmark Care Center. Among family members, we want to lift up Terry Lyons, father-in-law, Ernest. We also remember Bonnie Wisdom's son-in-law, Chris Bishop, and Chris's father, Ralph. Lana Witten's daughter, Beth, continues to be in our prayers. And Katie Turner has an 18-year-old cousin named Anaki. And he was involved in a motorcycle accident in Longmont, Colorado, is in intensive care with some extensive brain injury issues. So please keep him in your prayers. Also, we keep lifting up Don and Vicki Laufer's son, Champ, and Barbara Blakely's brother, Roy. And I think these are some of the newest people for us to keep in mind, as well as several we've been remembering now for several weeks. So with all these people upon our hearts, may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, we rejoice in the opportunity we have to assemble in your house of worship this Lord's Day morning. For the guidance of your Holy Spirit and the privilege to be in fellowship with fellow believers, we're grateful, for we are renewed and strengthened. And as we focus our attention today on the concluding portion of the Lord's Prayer, in which we proclaim, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever," we rejoice in the truth that we are offering you praise and glory, even as we offer our petitions in prayer. For the scriptures remind us in Psalm 92 that it is good to give you thanks, to sing in your honor, and to proclaim your constant love every morning and your faithfulness every night. And as the psalmist also tells us in Psalm 147, it is good to sing praise to you. It is pleasant and right to praise you. Thus, even as we lift up our petitions, mindful of the many burdens borne by dear loved ones, friends, and neighbors, and among your children throughout the world, as we all make our way through this fallible earthly existence, we know that we experience just a touch of the heavenly realm as we offer songs and words of heartfelt praise. And as we focus our attention on your spiritual presence among us, O God, we are in awe at the fullness of your great glory, your wisdom, and omnipotence, as we are also humbled by your compassionate care for each of us and for all of your children. Thus, we offer you great praise as we also recite the prayer through which our Lord Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Restore the joy. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me, uphold me with thy free spirit, thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Create in me a clean heart, O God.
Our community reflection this morning is text that help us focus on lifting up praise and worship to God. As the scriptures remind us, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Our hymn of contemplation this morning, number 25, Praise the Lord the Almighty, as we sing stanzas 1, 3, and 5, please.
Praise to the Lord the Almighty, who rules all creation. O my soul, worship the wellspring of health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to God's temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely God's goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do, who with great love doth befriend thee. Praise to the Lord, O let all of earth's peoples and races, all that have life and breath, give thanks for manifold graces. Let the Amen sound from God's people again. Gladly forever sing praises.
Our scripture reading this morning is again the last portion of the Lord's Prayer, We're looking at Matthew chapter 6. Last week we looked at the first portion of this 13th verse, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. But today we look at that latter portion, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer, please. Merciful and loving God, it has been our privilege over the last several weeks to explore the depth of meaning behind the words of the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples as a template of our prayers to you. And as we conclude this series of messages today, how good it is for us to offer you praise, for truly yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Again, this indeed is the last message about the Lord's Prayer today. And as we recite the last portion of this last verse of the King James Version in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, it does end up with those words, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Curiously, however, we also discover from reading some other versions of the Bible besides the King James that we've been following along. And the reason we've been looking at the King James Version is because that's the one that most all of us are familiar with and the one that most of us have memorized over the years. But in many versions of the Scriptures, this last portion is left out. Even as Jim mentioned, he was kind of stealing some of my thunder, wasn't he, there? You know. We ask the question, well, why is this so? Just like, of course, the Catholic priest, you know, when several people kept going in that wedding ceremony, he must have realized there were a lot of Protestants in there in the service as well, right? But why is it so? We wonder. If it is left out of some versions, should we even say this concluding phrase, or should it be left out? Now, Jim was right. The technical term of this last portion of Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, is indeed called a doxology. But what on earth is a doxology? Well, it is simply an expression of praise to God. The word is formed from two root words of the Greek language, doxa, which simply means glory, splendor, or grandeur, and logos, which means word or speaking. Thus, a doxology is words that strive to express glory and splendor to God. The actual word doxology was not derived until about the 300s AD. But the truth is that the assembling of words to offer praise to God and vocalizing them simply by speaking or by putting the words to music dates back as a common practice even among the Jewish people centuries before the time of Jesus. Doxologies could be put at the end of scripture readings or messages or commentaries during worship. And they were simply a way of offering praise to God as the congregation affirms what has been spoken about God. It's kind of like in some congregations when the preacher finally comes up with something really inspiring, people will say what? Amen. Amen. So doxology was a way for the whole community to participate in that affirmation. They were a way to draw people, all of those assembled, into a mutually beneficial participation in the actual worship experience itself. In the Old Testament, one doxology, for example, is kind of, if you're just reading the text, you don't catch it, because you have to know the nuance of the Hebrew to catch it. But in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 through 13, we have an example of a doxology as King David declares glory to God as he is coming to the conclusion of the celebration of gifts that were being given for what would actually be the construction of the temple in Jerusalem, you know, after his time. In that text, the beginning portion, King David says, "Lord God, our ancestor Jacob, may you be praised forever and ever. You are great and powerful, glorious, splendid, and majestic." And of course, it goes on and on. I won't read the whole thing. But in time, doxologies were the beginnings of what we now call litanies in worship. You know, like a reading, you know, where we have a leader and a response, a leader, a response, just like we're doing now in place of our Lord's Supper and the receiving of the offering. And of course, as time went on, those kind of recitations eventually evolved into musical context that eventually became what? The hymns that we sing on Sunday mornings. And of course, we do have a doxology even in the midst of worship. Praise God from whom, and I won't sing the whole thing. You don't need to listen to my terrible voice, do you? But you know, that's a doxology that we offer up in praise and celebration to God. But even as this information before us tells us what doxologies are, how did the Lord's Prayer end up with a doxology? And why do some versions of the Bible include this and others do not? Why do some fellowships in the Lord's Prayer with the doxology and others do not? Well, folks, you have to really admit that it has a whole lot to do with human politics. Isn't that how a lot of things evolve? Anyway, you know, one group up against another, trying to distinguish themselves from somebody else. But it may be likely that the final words of the Lord's Prayer were, in fact, maybe not, but it's not for certain, but maybe they were not Jesus' actual words, simply because some of the earliest manuscripts of the New Testament that are available to us do not include these final words of praise to God. As I mentioned a moment ago, it became a practice among Jewish people even before Jesus' time to add an expression of praise to important portions of Scripture. The doxology gave for the audience listening credence, as the doxology was a way to say to the audience, this is important. This portion is important for you to learn and for you to remember. This kind of emphasis was especially important in a time when memorization was the only way that important ideas about God could be communicated and retained from one generation to the next. You just can't look it up on the internet back then. You know, you had to memorize. And so doxologies at the end of significant portions of material were a keen way to help the believers remember. Just like one thing you may not be aware of, but many significant portions of Scripture text actually are broken down in wording that actually could be sung. Why? So that people could sing the song and help you remember. Do you remember some of the little rules about the English language and the like, and how your English teacher would give you a little ditty to help you remember certain rules? Well, it fits the way people were taught how to remember important parts of what God said through Jesus Christ. But it is believed by many biblical scholars that the doxology of the Lord's Prayer was put into practice by some Christians even in the early years of the Christian faith, especially in the eastern half of the Roman Empire. There is a book called the Didache, which means the teachings of the 12 apostles, It was a first century manual of morals, worship, and doctrine of the church, written in about 90 AD, so not long after the time of Jesus. And the Didache's text on Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, does include the Lord's Prayer doxology. And as the centuries ensued, and there became the evolution of the Catholic and the Protestant faith groups, there's a lot of confusing back and forth use of, and then the exclusion of, the doxology by both Catholic and Protestant groups. So, for example, even though the Catholic Church doesn't use the doxology today, at one time they did. But the real clincher took place during the reign of Queen Elizabeth I, when she was adamant about excluding ideas and expressions of worship that hinted of anything Catholic. Although the truth is that the Church of England, if you ever go to a service of the Church of England or an Anglican church service, it sure functions in a lot of ways that are familiar to the Catholic tradition. So how much different are you anyway? But because the Catholic Church at the time of Queen Elizabeth did not use the doxology on the end of the Lord's Prayer, the Queen said, we're going to put it in, and we're going to leave it there. Just so what? So we can be different. Sure sounds like a lot of things going on today, isn't it? We're going to do the opposite just so we can be different, just so we can be opposed. But what you will find today is that many of the newer versions of the Bible do not include the doxology simply because of that idea that it wasn't in those original manuscripts. Yet among many Protestant fellowships, since so many people have memorized the Lord's Prayer as it originated in that King James English, we have included the final words, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Yet, even with everything that I've said and explained to you today, many will still ask, well, if Jesus didn't say these words, should we leave it out? Well, the answer lies in the intent of the words, does it not? Do these words of the doxology detract or take away from anything that Jesus said? And the answer to that would be no. And what was and still is the purpose of the words of the doxology for the Lord's Prayer, if in fact it was inserted back in the very early years of the Christian church in the early 100s AD, or even if it's inserted now, what is the purpose of the doxology? It is to offer a grand finale, an expression of worshipful praise to God, to remind those who are saying the Lord's Prayer that this prayer is well worth remembering. It is well worth repeating often. And in fact, I've noticed over the years that when you're saying the Lord's Prayer out loud in worship, every once in a while, you'll have somebody in the audience who put a lot of emphasis into that last portion, and they'll say not only forever, but they'll do what? They'll say, forever and ever, amen, and amen. Heard that? Right? It's a way of offering celebration, an expressive celebration to God. Thus, if the purpose of the Lord's Prayer doxology is to offer worshipful praise to God, then certainly it ought to be okay for us to continue to maintain this honorable tradition as a means of offering a genuine expression of praise to God. As the scriptures remind us in Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2, it is good to give thanks and to sing praise to God's honor and to proclaim God's constant love every morning and God's faithfulness every night. And as Psalm 147, verse 1 states, It is good to sing praise to God. It is pleasant and right to praise Him. And if we've learned nothing else about the meaning behind the words of the Lord's Prayer, we've learned over the last several weeks that the Lord's Prayer, most of all, is a prayer that focuses our attention away from ourselves and centers our attention on God, as we truly wish to offer Him praise and glory every time we offer a prayer. So if we are to actually say the Lord's Prayer based upon our renewed understanding, in other words, based on everything I've shared with you over this last several weeks, maybe there's a different way to say it without the King James. And by the way, if you've missed some of these portions, you know, you can go on the church's website and click up on the sermon's title there on the top bar, and you can actually listen on to the audio version of every Sunday's message. So if you've missed some of these, you can back up and catch up on what was said. But based on what I've shared with you, I share this as a version of the Lord's Prayer, if you will. Our loving Father, oh, how holy and heavenly You are, as we focus all our attention on You. Your kingdom will come here on earth as it is in heaven, as we seek to do Your will here and now. With certainty, we know that You will provide for our daily needs. You have forgotten our transgressions as we forget the transgressions of others, and thus we renew our relationship with You and others. You never tempt us. Instead, You deliver us from the evil one and help us experience Jesus' ways. We offer You praise, for surely Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And we don't need to do a sermon on just the amen. What does amen mean? It just simply means, so be it. Again, a way of expressing affirmation. That's why we have it at the end of our prayers. Yet in conclusion, we can also recite the Lord's Prayer in that King James Version that we all know. And so in reciting it together, it is a way for us to truly feel the presence of God in our fellowship with one another as we strive to offer great praise to His glorious name. And so as you bow your head, I invite you to say with me the Lord's Prayer as it is familiar to all of us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And so out on the sign this morning, it simply states, give God glory. Reference to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. So I ask you, do you know Christ? If He's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is the day for you to come forward and accept Him in a way I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is that day for you to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation as we turn to our hymn of invitation. It's number 27. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 4, Come Thou Almighty King.
Come Thou Almighty King, help us Thy name. To praise one God, all glorious. evermore. Thy sovereign majesty may we in glory see, and to eternity love and adore.
Thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning, and we wish you the very best as you journey forward in the new week. May we bow our heads in prayer. Holy God, we give thanks for the privilege to assemble in your house, to hear from your word, and to be strengthened spiritually in a way that we know we can live lives that are fully devoted to you. Guide us in that task as we step forward into the journey of the new week. It's in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. I know.